this time of year always brings out the difference between how the church looks at time and how the world looks at time. To the world, this is New Year's Eve day, last day of the year, a day to prepare for tonight's celebrations, a day to get out our new calendars, figure out how to change the numbers. Instead of 2021, be 2022. So that's what everyone is thinking about, for the most part, New Year's Eve. The church takes a different approach. Today, the church is continuing her celebration of Christmas. Christmas starts on December 25, and there's a special octave of celebration. This is the seventh of the 8 days. So that's how the church looks at this day. This is a part of a bigger celebration of Christmas. And then the church is also anticipating tomorrow's big feast, which is the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. And the next day, Sunday, will be Epiphany. So today we have the seventh day of the octave, tomorrow the eighth day, the celebration of Mary, and then the next day, the coming of the Magi. So this is a very rich time of year for the liturgy. See how different it is. Who's thinking about Christmas now? Christmas is already a week ago. That's how people think. And the church says, no, Christmas is still going on. Today's readings help us get our focus here. The first reading speaks about the last hour, and the gospel speaks about in the beginning. So yes, we are at an ending, and every ending is a beginning. The first reading, in the first reading, St. John is talking about the last hour, meaning the last stage of God's revelation, now that Christ has come. And the Antichrist has also come, according to this reading. But our theme today comes from today's gospel. You see it on your song sheet. In the beginning was the Word, the very first line of today's gospel. If you went to Mass on Christmas Day, you heard this very gospel on Christmas Day. This is, the church considers this a profound Christmas reading. So we read it on Christmas Day, we read it on the seventh day as well. This is one of the most profound writings in all of human history, this prologue of St. John's Gospel. Those of you who are a little older than me might remember that this Gospel was read after every Mass. And before the reform of the liturgy, this prologue of John's Gospel was read after the final blessing of the Mass. It was called the last gospel, in fact, the last gospel. Why? Well, because it was a summary of everything that we believe. Even though the end of the Mass is go and live according to what you have just received, go and proclaim the gospel to the world. Well, then this additional gospel was read as if to say, this is what you're bringing out into the world. The last gospel, like an additional blessing. Well, we don't practice that reading of the last gospel in the liturgy anymore, but it's fitting to have this as the last gospel of the year. Not the last gospel of the day, but the last gospel of the year, the calendar year. It's a chance to conclude the calendar year with a summary of what we believe. A summary of what Christmas is about. A summary of who this child born in Bethlehem really is. Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, they focus on the birth of the child in Bethlehem. John's Gospel goes back further, not to his birth, not to his conception, but to the beginning. How far back can you go? Go back to the beginning. Now, if you ask a scientist, about the beginning, they'll say, oh, the Big Bang. That's what science says now, that everything started with a Big Bang. And the way they figured that out is because they can measure the universe expanding. This is fruit of the science of the 20th century. The universe is expanding. So if it's moving out, it must have started somewhere. So then they said, let's go back and figure out what happened earlier on. They said, well, it was a lot smaller. It was a lot denser. And then they said, well, it was one thing. And then it just exploded and spread out all over the place. That's the beginning in the case of science. If you ask the science, well, what about before that? Science says, well, you can't say anything before that. There's no evidence, no empirical evidence. You can't talk about what's before you can measure. But today's gospel takes us back before the Big Bang. In the beginning, or even before the beginning. What was there before there was anything? Well, there was God. And there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Meaning, there was, if there's a Word, that means there's someone who speaks the Word. There's a speaker, and there's something spoken from all eternity. It's a little hard to translate the word logos, which is the Greek word for, but here is translated as word. Logos means word, yes, that's probably the best translation, but it also means thought, idea, reason. It has to do with what is can be conceived in the mind. And what's a thought if there's not someone to think the thought? Now, what's a word if there's not someone to speak the word? What's an idea if there's not someone to have the idea? So this is a revelation of the inner workings of God, who we best describe by calling him Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and there's one God. So this is part of what we encounter when we start to ponder the prologue of St. John. In the beginning was the Word. Then this prologue speaks about how everything came into being. How did this Big Bang start? How did it happen? Did this happen by itself? No. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. There isn't anything else but what God created and the Creator. The Creator was always here, or always was, I should say. And then what he creates is everything else. The gospel continues by saying, by introducing John the Baptist, and saying, well, John came to testify to the light. He was not the light. The Word was the light. John came to prepare the way for the light to come. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. See how this is a summary of everything? And we talk so much during Advent about John the Baptist and about Jesus. And here it is again. John the Baptist and Jesus. John testifying to the light. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, life, light, word. Then the gospel speaks about this sad fact that even though the light was in the world, even though life comes into the world, even though the word is in the world, not everyone accepts light. Some people remain in darkness. Not everyone accepted the coming of light. But why is John telling us this? So that we will accept this word. He says this, to those who accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. It's the power of faith that when we accept the gift of the word, we ourselves become children of God. When we accept light, we are bathed in light. When we accept truth, we become missionaries of the truth. And then the key line, or one of the most famous lines of all, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word, God, from all eternity, unseeable, invisible, I should say, took on human form, human nature. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Sometimes people try to speak of this as a translation, because when you say a word in one language and then you want to translate it into another language so people can understand it, you end up changing it somehow. So I remember in the seminary the big argument about how to translate word into Tagalog. People usually say salita. Sometimes people say, what's the other word? Verbum is Latin. Balita, no, diwa? Wika. Wika, salita. Verbum, word. Logos. How do you say it? Well, the word is divine language. So let's say God, the divine language, how does he make himself understood in human language? He takes on flesh. We couldn't see him before, then he became visible. We couldn't understand him, he made himself understandable. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's what we celebrate Christmas time. God made himself knowable, accessible, visible, even tangible. That's why John says in his beginning of his first letter, what we saw, what we heard, what we touched with our own hands, that's the Word of life. This is what we're celebrating. And this Word which made his dwelling among us, we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Maybe I'm failing to explain or to ponder with you the wonder of what is being revealed here. The fullness of grace and truth is in this little child, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger. The very principle of the creation of everything that exists is here in the manger. The very Word of the Father, the very only begotten Son of the Father, is here in this little child, this helpless little child that can't even talk. Yes, that's the Christmas mystery that we celebrate. So when we go back to the beginning, we are awestruck, just like the scientists are awestruck when they think about the Big Bang and the size of the universe. Well, we're going to something even bigger, something even more awesome. And this bigger and awesome reality has come into our world as a little child. He dwelt among us, he pitched his tent here in the world, and this is what we're rejoicing about at Christmas time. Tomorrow we're going to honor his mother. The next day we're going to join the Magi, the three kings, in honoring him, paying our homage to him. But this day makes it possible for us to ponder who it is who was born of this mother, who it is that these Magi are honoring. He is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. He is God. God with us.